Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So Om Gana Tividanda Sha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So one of the underlying lessons one can learn from this particular pastime is that without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Heno Nittai Vinaybai Radhakrishna Poite Nai, without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one cannot approach Lord Chaitanya. And that is described by the acharyas. The process for achieving the supreme destination is as follows. First, one approaches Lord Nityananda. Of course, that's through the spiritual master who is a representative of Lord Nityananda. And then one becomes free of material desires, and then one can approach Lord Chaitanya to achieve the ecstatic platform. And then when one wants to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, it's necessary to approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So this is very interesting. Also, we can see in the direct preaching of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never really, let's say, publicly talked about Radha and Krishna's conjugal loving affairs. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited the mood of Vipralamba Seva in the mood of Srimati Radharani, that is the mood of separation from Krishna. But really, except with his intimate associates, his three and a half intimate associates, and I can tell you who the half was, but that those were the only ones he actually talked about, this like intimate stuff with Radha and Krishna. But then you have the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who wrote very elaborately about the Radha and Krishna conjugal loving affairs. Of course, you have that, the Vidagna Madhava, Lita Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath, what to speak of Raghunath Das Goswami's works, Vilapa Kusmanjali, Mukta Charita, and other literatures like that. And then, of course, you, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you had the books of Chandidas and Vidyapati and Jayadev, who wrote elaborately about those things. And, of course, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also wrote elaborately about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna in his famous work, the Govinda Lilamrita. Some of you have heard of that book before. But, first of all, we have to understand who we are, work in terms of that relationship, at Sambandha and Abhideya, before we can actually jump to the Prayojana stage, that is, entering into the understanding and meditation on Radha and Krishna's conjugal loving affairs. So anyway, so this is interesting how these different personalities presented different aspects of the Krishna conscious philosophy. And Lord Nityananda, generally, he was teaching basically renunciation from this material world. And in order to be able to renounce this material from this material world and serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which certainly Lord Nityananda did, one has to achieve Lord Nityananda's mercy. So we see in Raghunath Das Goswami's pastimes that Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to leave and join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was unable to do that until he got Lord Nityananda's mercy. In fact, Lord Chaitanya instructed Raghunath Das Goswami to go back home after Raghunath Das Goswami met Lord Chaitanya for the first time. He instructed him to go back home and act as a pound, shilling, and pence man. What's that? It looks like it. That looks like a microphone. Feels like a microphone. Then turn the volume up. but to ask me whether I'm talking to the microphone or not. Unless, you know, I'm an illusion and this is not a microphone. It's a lollipop or something like that. It's on. It's on, I can tell. You just have to turn the volume up on the amplifier, not on the mixer. Amplifier is that big thing with the big knob on it below. Hare Krishna. That's good, see? Thank you. This is a microphone. So anyway, getting back to the point, Raghunath Das Goswami had previously attempted to leave home, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him to act as a pound, shilling, and pence man. And that means, you know, basically dollars, $100, and whatever it is. Or, as they say in India, a lakh man. A lakh is 100,000 rupees. Anyway, so he went back home. I'm going to tell this story very quickly. I'm not going to read from this portion. He was able to free his father and uncle, Haranya and Govardhan, from the imprisonment. They weren't imprisoned, but actually from the persecution of the Muslim Nawab, Hussein Shah. And the reason they were being persecuted is because they had actually taken more. They were tax collectors. They had taken more than their share. And the Muslim Chaudhary, that means the tax collector, Muslim tax collector, who had previously been in charge of that district, was deprived of his share. There was a warrant out for their arrest, and they escaped before they were arrested. And Raghunath Das Goswami, or Raghunath Das, was put into prison instead of them. And Raghunath Das, being an expert business person, was able to convince the Muslim who had him imprisoned that he would negotiate a settlement with his father and uncle, and the Muslim could get some money. And he was rather sentimental. He used sentiment in his negotiation process. He said to the Muslim Chaudhary, he said, actually, I'm like your son, and my father and uncle are like your brothers. And so in this way, the Muslim started to cry, and then he was able to negotiate a settlement. But the actual thing was the money. So after he got out, because it was the money, I mean, you can, sentiment is one thing, but money is more important than sentiment. So after he got out, Raghunath Das Goswami again tried to escape from home. And there's this interesting exchange between Raghunath Das Goswami's mother and father, because he was trying to escape almost on a daily basis from his home. It means every day he would try to run away. And his father would bring him back, or his father employed some guards to bring him back. And then his mother said, "Our son has become mad. Just keep him by binding him with ropes." And his father, being very unhappy, replied to her as follows: "Raghunath Das, our son, has opulences like Indra, the heavenly king, and his wife is as beautiful as an angel. All this could not tie down his mind. Then how then could we keep this boy home by binding him with ropes? It is not possible even for one's father to nullify the reactions of one's past activities. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has fully bestowed his mercy upon him. Who can keep home such a madman of Chaitanya Chandra?" So then Raghunath Das Goswami understood basically that he needed to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So Raghunath Das Goswami went to meet Lord Nityananda in the village of Panihati, and we're going to read this pastime. In the village of Panihati, Raghunath Das obtained an interview with Nityananda Prabhu, who was accompanied by many kirtan performers, servants, and others. Sitting on a rock under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Lord Nityananda seemed as effulgent as hundreds of thousands of rising suns. Many devotees sat on the ground surrounding him, seeing the influence of Nityananda Prabhu. Raghunath Das was astonished. Raghunath Das offered his obeisances by falling prostrate at a distant place. And the servant of Nityananda Prabhu pointed out, there is Raghunath Das offering you obeisances. Hearing this, Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, you are a thief. Now you've come here to see me. Come here, come here. Today I shall punish you. The Lord called him, but Raghunath Das did not go to see near the Lord. Then the Lord forcibly caught him and placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head. That's how merciful Lord Nityananda is, that he actually forces his feet upon your head. Lord Nityananda was by nature very merciful and funny. Being merciful, he spoke to Raghunath Das as follows. You are just like a thief, for instead of coming near, you stay away at a distant place. Now that I have captured you, I shall punish you. Make a festival and feed all of my associates yogurt and chip rice. Hearing this, Raghunath Das was greatly pleased. Raghunath Das immediately sent his own men to the village to purchase all kinds of eatables and bring them back. Raghunath Das brought chip rice, yogurt, milk, sweetmeats, sugar, bananas, and other eatables and placed them all around. As soon as they heard that a festival was going to be held, all kinds of brahmanas and other gentlemen began to arrive. Thus, there were innumerable people. Seeing the crowd increasing, Raghunath Das arranged to get more eatables from other villages. He also brought 200 to 400 large round earthen pots. He also obtained 5 or 7 especially large earthen pots, and in these pots, a brahmana began soaking chip rice for the satisfaction of Lord Nityananda. In one place, chip rice was soaked in hot milk in each of the large pots. Then half of the rice was mixed with yogurt, sugar, and bananas. The other half was mixed with condensed milk and a special type of banana known as Chompa Kalaw. Then sugar, clarified butter, and camphor were added. After Nityananda Prabhu had changed his cloth for a new one and sat on a raised platform, the brahmanas brought before him the 7 huge pots. On that platform, all the most important associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, as well as other important men, sat down in a circle around the Lord. Among them were Ram Das, Sundarananda, Vidhadhara Das, Murari, Kamalakara, Sadashiva, and Purandara. Dhananjaya, Jagadish, Parameshwar Das, Mahesh, Gauri Das, and Hoda Krishna Das were also there. Similarly, Udarana Dutta Thakur and many other personal associates of the Lord sat on a raised platform with Lord Nityananda. No one could count them. Hearing about the festival, all kinds of learned scholars, brahmanas, and priests went there. Lord Nityananda Prabhu honored them and made them sit on the raised platform with him. Everyone was offered 2 earthen pots. In one was put chip rice with condensed milk, and in the other, chip rice with yogurt. All the other people sat in groups around the platform. No one could count how many people were there. Each and every one of them was supplied 2 earthen pots, one of chip rice soaked in yogurt, and the other of chip rice soaked in condensed milk. Some of the brahmanas, not having gotten a place on the platform, went to the bank of the Ganges with their 2 earthen pots and soaked their chip rice there. Others who could not get a place even on the bank of the Ganges got down into the water and began eating their 2 kinds of chip rice. Thus, some sat on the platform, some at the base of the platform, and some on the bank of the Ganges, and they were all supplied 2 pots each by the 20 men who distributed the food. At that time, Raghava Pandit arrived there. Seeing the situation, he began to laugh in great surprise. He brought many other kinds of food, cooked in ghee, and offered to the Lord. This prasad he first placed before Lord Nityananda and then distributed among the devotees. Raghava Pandit said to Lord Nityananda, for you, sir, I have already offered food to the deity, but you are engaged in a festival here, and so the food is lying there untouched. Lord Nityananda replied, let me eat all this food here during the day, and I shall eat at your home at night. I belong to a community of coward boys, and therefore I generally have many coward associates with me. I am happy when we eat together in a picnic like this by the sandy bank of the river. Lord Nityananda made Raghava Pandit sit down and had two pots delivered to him also. There were two kinds of chip rice soaked in them. When chip rice had been served to everyone, Lord Nityananda Prabhu in meditation brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived, Lord Nityananda Prabhu stood up. Then they saw how the others were enjoying the chip rice with yogurt and condensed milk. From each and every pot, Lord Nityananda Prabhu took one morsel of chip rice and pushed it into the mouth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a joke. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also smiling, took a morsel of food, pushed it into the mouth of Nityananda, and laughed as he made Lord Nityananda eat it. In this way, Lord Nityananda was walking through all the groups of eaters, and all the Vaishnavas standing there were seeing the fun. No one could understand what Nityananda Prabhu was doing as he walked about. Some, however, who were very fortunate, could see that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also present. Then Nityananda Prabhu smiled and sat down. On his right side, he kept four pots of chip rice that had not been made from boiled paddy. Lord Nityananda offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a place and had him sit down. Then, together, the two brothers began eating chip rice. Seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eating with him, Lord Nityananda Prabhu became very happy and exhibited varieties of ecstatic love. Lord Nityananda Prabhu ordered, "All of you eat," chanting the holy name of Hare. Immediately, the holy names Hare, Hare resounded, filling the entire universe. When all the Vaishnavas were chanting the holy names Hare, Hare, and eating, they remembered how Krishna and Balaram ate with their companions, the coward boys, on the bank of the Yamuna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are extremely merciful and liberal. It was Raghunath Das's good fortune that they accepted all these dealings. Who can understand the influence and mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu? He is so powerful that he induced Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come eat chip rice on the bank of the Ganges. All the confidential devotees who were coward boys headed by Sri Ramdas were absorbed in ecstatic love. They thought the bank of the Ganges to be the bank of the Yamuna. When the shopkeepers of many other villages heard about the festival, they arrived there to sell chip rice, yogurt, sweetmeats, and bananas. As they came, bringing all kinds of food, Raghunath Das purchased it all. He gave them the price for their goods and later fed them the very same food. Anyone who came to see how these funny things were going on was also fed chipped rice, yogurt, and bananas. After Lord Nityananda Prabhu finished eating, he washed his hands and mouth and gave Raghunath Das the food remaining in the four pots. There was food remaining in the three other big pots of Lord Nityananda, and a brahmana distributed to all the devotees, giving a morsel to each. Then a brahmana brought a flower garland, placed the garland on Nityananda Prabhu's neck, and smeared sandalwood pulp all over his body. When a servant brought betel nuts and offered them to Lord Nityananda, the Lord smiled and chewed them. With his own hands, Lord Nityananda Prabhu distributed to all the devotees whatever flower garlands, sandalwood pulp, and betel nuts remained. After receiving the remnants of food left by Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das, who was greatly happy, ate some and distributed the rest among his associates. Thus I have described the pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu in relation to the celebrated festival of chip rice and yogurt. Nityananda Prabhu rested for the day, and when the day ended, he went to the temple of Raghava Pandit and began congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Lord Nityananda Prabhu first influenced all the devotees to dance, and finally he himself began dancing, thus inundating the entire world in ecstatic love. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was observing the dancing of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu could see this, but others could not. The dancing of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, like the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, cannot be compared to anything within these three worlds. No one can properly describe the sweetness of Lord Nityananda's dancing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally comes to see it. After the dancing and after Lord Nityananda had rested, Raghava Pandit submitted his request that the Lord take supper. Lord Nityananda Prabhu sat down for supper with his personal associates and made a sitting place on his right side for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there and sat down at his place. Seeing this, Raghava Pandit felt increasing happiness. Raghava Pandit brought prasad before the two brothers and thereafter distributed prasad to all the other Vaishnavas. There were varieties of cakes, sweet rice, and fine cooked rice that surpassed the taste of nectar. There were also varieties of vegetables. The food prepared and offered to the deity by Raghava Pandit was like the essence of nectar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there again and again to eat such prasad. When Raghava Pandit offered the food to the deity after cooking, he would make a separate offering for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would eat at the house of Raghava Pandit. Sometimes he would give Raghava Pandit the opportunity to see him. Raghava Pandit would bring and distribute prasad to the two brothers, feeding them with great attention. They ate everything, and therefore there were no remnants left. He brought so many presentations that no one could know them perfectly. Indeed, it was a fact that the Supreme Mother, Radharani, personally cooked in the house of Raghava Pandit. So one thing about Raghava Pandit is that, of course, he was expert in cooking, but there's another story about Raghava Pandit, how he was so much attentive to cleanliness. You all know that story? The coconut story? That Raghava Pandit would regularly offer like fresh coconuts to the deities. But one day what happened is that his servant brought the fresh coconuts, and as he was bringing the coconut and he cut it, he also touched the top of the doorway entering into the pujari room or the deity room. And the top of the doorway, normally you think it's clean and everything like that, but the top of the doorway, it's explained by Raghava Pandit, had the dust from people's feet. Obviously, people are not walking on the top of the doorway. But the wind or the breeze would blow the dust up in the air, and the dust pretty much covers everything. I mean, it's interesting to see that even if you, of course, this table has some dust. You wipe your hand, you actually see some dust comes off on your hand. And the dust generally comes from the ground, doesn't it? I mean, the dust doesn't come from the sky, it comes from the ground. And on the ground, people walk, right? At least that's how it usually is. People walk on the ground, they don't walk up in the air. So in other words, basically, in this material world, you got foot dust of people everywhere. Think about it. Yuck. Therefore, Raghava Pandit, he took those coconuts, even though the coconuts had come from a very long distance away, with great expense, he took those coconuts and just threw them away in the garbage. And then he sent a servant, had to pay more money to get coconuts from the same place, and then he offered them to the deities. So the point I'm making is that cleanliness is very important. When one is cooking for the deities, Prabhupada said two things. Cleanliness and punctuality are the most important things. And it's very important to understand that when you're worshiping the deities. I remember when we first installed the deities, I would sometimes stand with my watch, you know, just counting down the seconds. And I think we pretty much adhere to those standards, too. That's why Krishna is pleased. Even though the standard here is rather simple, and we don't have so many, you don't see people do so many mudras and other things like that. I mean, even I've been at grihastha's houses, and you know, they do all these mudras when they're doing the puja. Like, you know, I don't even know the mudras. I mean, I know some mudras, like, that's okay. There's another mudra, peace. I mean, I don't even know any Vaishnava mudra. Actually, there's one. This is the Acharya mudra. That's the one mudra I know. So, but we've always concentrated here on cleanliness and punctuality. So, like when one goes in the kitchen, and this is how I trained up the devotees to cook, that it would be like in the hospital, like when the doctor's putting on his scrubs, that the nurse puts his, you know, what they don't wear aprons, but you know, whatever they wear, hospital gown, and he holds his hands out like that. And if he touches anything else, he has to wash his hands, because everything's contaminated in the hospital. Nowadays, of course, sometimes the doctors don't wash their hands, even between patients, and you have all these diseases, like these super bugs. That's not one of Gopal's superheroes. That's a danger. That's one of the demons. You have these super bugs. So it's very important to be extremely, like Prabhupada said, revolutionary clean when people come to the Krishna Consciousness Temple. They should see that, because the dust is actually coming from the ground, and it's very impure. And Prabhupada even one time was in a car, and he wiped his finger across the dashboard, and the dust came off. And Prabhupada said, "Who do you think this car belongs to?" And obviously, everything belongs to Krishna. So this is very important. Punctuality and cleanliness. And Raghava Pandit, of course, was the perfect example of that. And it's described that Radharani personally cooked in the house of Raghava Pandit. So the kitchen, another point is that the kitchen is actually Radharani's place. That you should think like that. That is Radharani's place, the kitchen. And if she is pleased, Krishna will accept the offering. If she's not pleased, Krishna will not accept the offering. It's not that Krishna has to accept. Like yesterday we were talking about the deities. It's not that Krishna has to stay there. If Krishna is offended, Krishna can leave, because Krishna is independent. So let's continue reading. Srimati Radharani received from Durvasa Muni the benediction of whatever she cooked would be sweeter than nectar. That is the special feature of her cooking. Aromatic and pleasing to see, the food was the essence of all sweetness. Thus the two brothers, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, ate it with great satisfaction. All the devotees present requested Raghunath Das to sit down and take prasad. But Raghava Pandit told them he will take prasad later. All the devotees took prasad, filling themselves to the brim. Thereafter, chanting the holy name of Hari, they stood up and washed their hands and mouths. After eating, the two brothers washed their hands and mouths. Then Raghava Pandit brought flower garlands and sandalwood pulp and decorated them. Raghava Pandit offered them betel nuts and worshipped their lotus feet. He also distributed betel nuts, flower garlands, and sandalwood pulp to the devotees. Raghava Pandit, being very merciful toward Raghunath Das, offered him the dishes with the remnants of food left by the two brothers. He said, "Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has eaten this food. If you take his remnants, you will be released from the bondage of your family." The Supreme Personality of Godhead always resides either in the heart or in the home of a devotee. This fact is sometimes hidden and sometimes manifest, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully independent. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervasive, and therefore he resides everywhere. Anyone who doubts this will be annihilated. In the morning, after taking his bath in the Ganges, Nityananda Prabhu sat down with his associates beneath the same tree under which he had previously sat. Raghunath Das went there and worshipped Lord Nityananda's lotus feet. Through Raghava Pandit, he submitted his desire. This is Raghunath Das speaking. "I am the lowest of men, the most sinful, fallen, and condemned. Nevertheless, I desire to attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like a dwarf who wants to catch the moon, I have tried my best many times, but I have never been successful. Every time I try to go away and give up my home relationships, my father and mother, unfortunately, kept me bound. No one can attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your mercy. But if you are merciful, even the lowest of men can attain the shelter at his lotus feet. Although I am unfit and greatly afraid to submit this plea, I nevertheless request you, sir, to be especially merciful toward me by granting me shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Placing your feet on my head, give me the benediction that I may achieve the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without difficulty. I pray for this benediction." after hearing this appeal by Raghunath Das, Lord Nityananda Prabhu smiled and told all the devotees Raghunath Das's standard of material happiness is equal to that of Indra, the king of heaven. Because of the mercy bestowed upon him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das, although situated in such material happiness, does not like it at all. Therefore, let every one of you be merciful toward him and give him the benediction that he may very soon attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One who experiences the fragrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna does not even value the standard of happiness available in Brahmaloka, the topmost planet, and what to speak of heavenly happiness. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is offered sublime poetic prayers by those trying to attain his favor. Thus he is known as Uttama Shloka. Being very eager to gain the association of Lord Krishna, King Bharata, although in the prime of youth, gave up his very attractive wife, affectionate children, most beloved friends, an opulent kingdom, exactly as one gives up stool after excreting it. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu called Raghunath Das near him, placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head and began to speak. My dear Raghunath Das, he said, since you arranged the feast on the bank of the Ganges, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here just to show you his mercy. By his causeless mercy, he ate the chip rice and milk. Then, after seeing the dancing of the devotees at night, he took his supper. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gaudahari came here personally to deliver you. Now rest assured that all the impediments meant for your bondage are gone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept you and place you under the charge of his secretary, Swarup Damodar. You will thus become one of the most confidential internal servants and will attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being assured of all this, return to your home. Very soon, without impediments, you will attain the shelter of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Nityananda had Raghunath Das blessed by all the devotees, and Raghunath Das offered his obeisances, his respects, to their lotus feet. After taking leave of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, then all the other Vaishnavas, Sri Raghunath Das consulted secretly with Raghava Pandit. After consulting with Raghava Pandit, he secretly delivered 100 gold coins and about 7 tolas of gold to the hand of Nityananda Prabhu's treasurer. Raghunath Das admonished the treasurer, "Do not speak about this to Lord Nityananda Prabhu now, but when he returns home, kindly inform him about this presentation." Thereupon, Raghava Pandit took Raghunath Das to his home. After inducing him to see the deity, he gave Raghunath Das a garland and sandalwood pulp. He gave Raghunath Das a large quantity of prasad to eat on his way home. Then Raghunath Das again spoke to Raghava Pandit. "I want to give money," he said, "just to worship the lotus feet of all the great devotees, servants and subservants of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. As you think fit, give 20, 15, 12, 10 or 5 coins to each of them." Raghunath Das drew up an account of the amount to be given and submitted it to Raghava Pandit, who then made up a list showing how much money was to be paid to each and every devotee. With great humility, Raghunath Das placed 100 gold coins and about 2 tolas of gold before Raghava Pandit for all the other devotees. After taking the dust from the feet of Raghava Pandit, Raghunath Das returned to his home, feeling greatly obligated to Lord Nityananda Prabhu because of having received his merciful benediction. And from that day on, he did not go into the interior section of the house. Instead, he would sleep on the Durga Mandap, the place where Mother Durga was worshipped. So that's the story, the Panihati story. And so there are several things we can learn from this. That Raghunath Das, of course, became the acharya for the aspect of devotional service known as Prayojana. That means the topmost aspect of devotional service, that is going back to home, back to God. The other aspects are Sambandha and Abhideya. Sambandha Acharya, Sanatan Goswami. Abhideya is Rupa Goswami. So Raghunath Das went from the most opulent situation. And not only that, But he wasn't even from a Brahmin family. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were from Brahmin families, Saraswata Brahmin families. Of course, by their association with the Muslims, it was considered they had lost their caste. But still, they were from high-class Brahmin families. Whereas Raghunath Das was from the Kayastha family. Kayasthas are generally considered, not even Vaishyas, they're considered Shudras, the Kayasthas. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu posted someone who was from what was considered one of the lowest rungs of society to the highest position in preaching and teaching Krishna consciousness, which is very, very, very interesting. That's one thing we can find out. So therefore, those who criticize the ISKCON devotees, you know, saying, you know, you're Westerners or you're coming from low-class backgrounds or whatever, should understand the example of Raghunath Das Goswami, how he was from the what was considered one of the lowest castes of society at that time. Another point is that in order to achieve the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one has to become nirapeksha. One has to become detached from this material world. Not averse to the material world. It's not that you have to, you know, hate the material energy or hate your family members. I mean, that was a misunderstanding that many of us had when we joined the Krishna Conscious Movement. You know, we thought, now I've joined the Krishna Conscious Movement, I can't have anything to do with my mother or father, or mother means Maya, can't even talk to my mother. That is not the point. The point is that one should engage people in Krishna service. That is called Yukta Vairagya rather than Falgu Vairagya, or a negative aspect towards the material creation. So, but Raghunath Das Goswami had a specific example to show us how, if one is absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord, then one becomes completely disinterested in the things of this world. And if there's not cause to use the things of this world in Krishna's service, then the devotee doesn't accept them. Only when there's cause to use the things of this world. Okay? Any questions or comments? We have about 1 minute left. Yeah. Yeah.
We took care of it for a little while, and then we found a baby bird.
Sounds like Bart Maharaj.
Yeah, exactly. And I was thinking about the fact that having a need for having that same absorption in Krishna.
Yeah.
And at the same time, understanding that, at least for myself personally, I'm not at that level to, you know, to be involved in writing Krishna's pastime, to be absorbed in or whatever. And so I'm wondering about how, like, they were speaking in the purport, about, you know, tying down the mind, or how can we...
Well, that's why we have deity worship. That's what we're reading about in the Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Because by the deity, I mean, obviously we can't, most of us can't be absorbed internally in Radhakrishna's pastimes like Raghunath Das Goswami was. Or the other Goswamis, Hey Rad, Hey Braja Devake, Hey Nanda Shunopata. Just like it's described by Srinivasacharya, the Goswamis were running and chanting, Oh Radharani, Oh Krishna, where are you? Running around Vrindavan, a mood of separation. Of course, we're running, thinking, Oh, where's something to eat? Where are you? You know, or where's my beloved? You know, my better half, or my worse half, or whatever you may call it. We're running around in search of, where's my computer? Where are you? You know, my Macintosh, whatever, you know, computer you're attached to. So instead we have the deity worship, which regulates us. And, you know, in this way we can actually become detached. That's what's recommended for the neophytes.